Join me in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Two passages I want to bring to you this morning, discussing the resurrection. This morning at sunrise, the message concerned the acknowledgement that Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of God, and that His resurrection was the greatest evidence. There were many evidences throughout His ministry that pointed to His divinity. But it was this morning, Easter Sunday morning, the resurrection, that most clearly acknowledged, most clearly defined, most clearly indicated that Jesus Christ was, is, indeed, the Son of God. You might say, well, that goes without saying. Well, no, not really. There are many circles that will argue against the resurrection, as we discussed this morning. Jesus being the Christ, good teacher, prophet maybe, but the Christ is another level. And so here, this morning, we discussed that. But here I want to move from that acknowledgement that Jesus Christ is the Son of God into that benefit for the believer. Why did Jesus Christ have to die and the resurrection? What is its importance? And to look at it without taking any admiration or worship from our Lord, but looking at it from our perspective, if you will. What benefit is our Lord's resurrection to us? I entitled the sermon, Alive After Death. Alive after death. Hear the words, Lord, the inerrant, inspired word of the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 12. You see it there on the projection, or I pray in the Bible you hold in your hands. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and our faith, your faith, is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that He raised Christ, whom He did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are all of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His word. First of all, context here for just a moment. Our brother Paul here is preaching to the Corinthian church. Heavy in Greek influence. And they had some very different views of the body and of the soul and of the afterlife. They believed the soul, since it was not of this world, to be good. And just opposite of that, the body, since it was made of this earthen place we live, it to be evil. And when they died, the body simply ceased to exist and the soul returned to its place in heaven. So when Paul here is talking about resurrection of the body and it going into an eternal place, that was almost like blasphemy to the Greek audience, because it simply was not in parallel or in line with what they thought or believed. But here Paul is saying to the Corinthian church, this teaching is wrong. This teaching is wrong. Along with the Greeks having a bad idea of the body and soul, Paul is trying to teach the seriousness of the resurrected body. So while he is saying to the Greek church, what you've been taught is not correct. Because as he writes here, if there is no resurrection of the body, then there is no resurrection of Christ. And if there is no resurrection of Christ, then our faith is futile and you are still in your sins. But yes, as he gives us here, in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. You see, again, as I said this morning, the bodily resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ is the pinnacle of our faith. As Paul writes here, if it were not for the resurrection, we would still be in our sins. Yes, Jesus died on the cross on Friday, and that may have had some penalty paid for sin, but the fullness, the completion, the completed work of salvation had not yet been done until the resurrection. We in our faith have what we can term the double blessing of salvation. Yes, we've been forgiven of our sin. But then there's always Easter Sunday morning. And that Easter Sunday morning of what it means to us is that, yes, we are forgiven our sins. And as Paul is writing here, our Lord Jesus Christ is the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep, meaning he was the first to be resurrected. He was that model, that example, and all of us that are following in his steps, in his faith, and faith in him, we also will be resurrected. The bodily resurrection is important to our faith, of course, to Jesus Christ being the Son of God. But I ask a question, and I've already begun answering it somewhat. Why is it so necessary for the Christian to teach the doctrine of resurrection? As I've said many times, there are some Christian circles that will not profess the resurrection. There are some that will not accept that bodily raising of one that was once dead. If the rational thinking mind cannot formulate the idea and handle that thinking to understand its happening, then I may not accept it as truth. But see, that's where faith comes in. I can't explain the resurrection. My mind can't handle the terminology necessary for it to make sense. But do I accept that the resurrection occurred? Absolutely. Because the Lord's Word tells me it does. And so by faith we gain this. But why is it so necessary to teach the resurrection and the doctrine of the resurrection? Why is the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ so important? Well, as Paul has given us here, it starts with Adam. It starts with Adam. Verse 21 of chapter 15, for as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. It's Adam's fault. But I thought it was Eve. Well, ladies, I don't think Adam was too far away. But you see that disobedience by Adam and Eve in the garden, and the penalty being death, was that sentence that brought death to the human race. For you see, Adam and Eve were created in the image of God, and they were created from that point on to live in eternity. Death was yet not part of the equation. They were meant to live bearing the image of God, bearing that portrayal of God to His creation. But yet when they disobeyed God, the penalty was death. Which is actually an act of grace on God's part, but I'll save that for another message. We all know that they disobeyed God and therefore were condemned to death. They were expelled from the garden and were appointed to die after a life of toil. And we today are recipients of this same sentence. Now, there are some who would interject right here, that's not fair. Adam and Eve sinned in that garden. I didn't. So why am I paying the penalty for Adam's disobedience? Well, that's a part of that thing that is not quite explainable, but yet we see it in Scripture, that his lineage from that time on were born into that sinful state. We are not born into this world as Adam and Eve were created in this world to be righteous. You don't believe we're born into this world sinful? Just watch a child for a few minutes. And so just like Adam was cursed to die for his sin, so were we as well. Because of Adam's sin, death came into the world. We, being Adam's offspring, have a sentence of death as well. Not too many weeks ago, we baptized this young lady right down here, and how hard it is, a beautiful child like this, to go through the act of baptism. And as I often do, bring the child down through the aisle and let you see them. But to acknowledge that child, as Jeremy and Emily did, that child is a sinner. And that child has hell as its outcome unless the Holy Spirit, through the work of Jesus Christ, intervenes. That just doesn't make sense. But because of Adam's sin, humanity was cursed. This creation was cursed. Our work was cursed. And so we had great need. God is merciful and God is graceful. And God answers and brings the resolution to our need. Here Paul writes, just as Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. All right, now, this great phenomenon, this great miracle, this great supernatural act of resurrection on Easter Sunday morning should have just become incredibly more important to you. Because in Christ, him being raised from the dead, as Paul is arguing, so also you, the believer, you, the one who professed Jesus Christ as Lord, you too will be raised. Yes, we are under the sin of Adam's curse, but there is salvation. And we look forward one day when this young lady makes that profession of faith. If it works like it did in my family, it'll probably be Grandma that shares the gospel with her and she acknowledges. Grandparents, share the gospel with your grandchildren. They listen to you sometimes more than Mom and Daddy. Yeah, probably most of the time, if truth be known. As a believer, and this is where I want it to resonate with us. As a believer, we have gained victory over death. We have gained victory over the grave. We have gained victory over this world. We have, in my 14 years here, we have conducted over 76 funerals. Thankfully, I have never had to do the funeral of a non-believer. One of the greatest joys, I think Dr. Earl would echo, David's been involved in many of them as well. One of the greatest joys is to be able to stand in this pulpit and to know that the loved one who has passed away is not confined to that grave. I don't know what hope I would give to someone at the funeral of a non-believer. There is none. And so in the passing of this life, from this life to the next, passing through this life, as Dr. Kelly says, through that portal of the grave, it's just a temporary abode that only holds us for a while. Do we fear death? Do we fear death? Sometimes when you ask somebody how they're doing and they say, well, I'm still here, I want to go, well, you're doing pretty badly, aren't you? Why not say, well, I'd be better if I was in heaven? Isn't that home? Isn't that home? If you have your Bibles, join me in Romans chapter 6. Our Lord's death was horrible. The pain and the agony he witnessed on that cross, unbearable. But yet he freely gave himself of his own accord to the will of the Father to secure your salvation and mine. And so, yes, the dying portion, when he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, he asked for that cup to be passed from him. The dying was hard. The death he did not fear because of the resurrection. I pray we would hold it in the same regard. Dying, yes. My greatest fear of death is suffocating. I pray the Lord chooses a different way. Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and following. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Now, this word baptized here, let me reflect on it just briefly because it's a little different than what we've done for this beautiful child here a couple of weeks ago. Baptized means that you have been taken and consumed fully within the teaching, fully within the work, and fully within the divinity and work of Jesus Christ on your behalf. You are consumed within Jesus Christ. When he says baptized into Christ means that you have acknowledged him as Savior, you acknowledge him as Lord, and you are his child, and you are consumed and enveloped within the work of Jesus Christ. Verse 4, we were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. For if we have been unified with him in a death like this, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So, you must also consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. I love Paul's writings. He seems like in his mind he gets up into this circular kind of thinking and around he goes, and finally he comes out at the end and makes his point. But here, in these words, we see again, we have been baptized into his death. Jesus Christ died on that cross. He died for your sins. And by you professing him as Lord, you have acknowledged that that sin he died for was your sin that he died for. And so you have been forgiven of your sin. And if we have died to sin, as Paul writes, we have been given life. We have been given life. We have been given life. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For the one who has died has been set free from sin. Paul writes to the Ephesian church, I believe, that we are seated in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. That sentence in the Greek is in present tense, meaning now. We are seated in the heavenly realms with Christ Jesus. So I ask again, do you fear death? Now please do not take this as Tim promoting death or finding some quicker means to it. No. God has given you a call. He's measured out your life. live it to the full and do what He's called you to do, as we mentioned last Sunday. But a Christian, one who is redeemed, one who acknowledges Jesus Christ as Lord, just as Paul is writing here, you have died to sin. Your sin, although it may rear its ugly head in your life way more times than you would like, that sin has been dealt with. Now, that does not give us license. There is confession, there is repentance, but there is life. And there is life after death. Many people will ask, if you were to die today, would you go to heaven? I don't know who I would feel more sorry for. The one who would disdainfully say, no, I don't believe in that. Or the one, well, I hope so. So you can go past hoping. We can know. We can know. If you've professed Jesus Christ as Lord, if you've accepted Him as Savior, if you believe with your heart through faith that these words Paul has written to the Corinthian church and to the Roman church, to the church at New Sterling, if you believe in your heart that they're true, and they are, they're God's holy and errant word, then yes, I'm going to heaven. And I pray many days like John, come Lord Jesus even today. Folks, Christianity is a faith of life. It is a belief system geared around life. Life. Jesus Christ is life. I've come to bring you, come to give you life, and it to the full. I want every person in the room to know that if today is your day, Miss Cora, if the Lord called Roy home today, you've heard his testimony. We know where he would be. My dad, I pray often that the Lord would take him home, because then he'd be fine. Because I believe in life. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe what Paul writes here, that we are dead to sin. Because Christ died once for all on that cross on Friday afternoon. And then this morning, He was raised from the dead. And just as Paul writes, if He has been raised from the dead, so shall you. If you have the good profession. If you have the good profession. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I pray for these who are seated here. I pray that all in this room would have that good profession of faith. That all here would acknowledge the belief in the resurrection. That our Lord's word is good and true and right. But Lord, if there's one or two or more, that this just sounds like gibberish. Things that's just hard to believe and accept because my mind just can't handle it. Father, help them get past their own thinking. Let them get past their own thinking. And Lord, through Your Holy Spirit, bring the thinking to them that is good and right and true. And that they need You. They need the Lord Jesus Christ in their life. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen and amen.